appreciate the good spirit we've been able to feel this morning. Good songs of Zion. I appreciate what the Lord does through the people here at Welcome Grove. And certainly good to be in meeting with you again this morning. I'm going to ask our deacons, if they will, all three of them, make the way to the front and take their places at the table this morning. Certainly, we appreciate what this service means to the believer, and it ought to touch our hearts in a special way. Outside of salvation and really getting a Holy Ghost filled meeting where you just feel like a Holy Spirit's right beside of you, I think this is the next best meeting you can be in. Because why we come to church is all about Him. Songs we sing should be about Him. The Scriptures, they testify of Him. Everything's about Him, and a couple times a year we have a service where He left us that He said as oft as we did it, to do it in remembrance of Him. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with us this morning over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23. I'm going to let you remain seated this morning while I read these couple verses, because I may read them a couple times, and certainly we'll read them again when they get ready to pass out the bread and the wine. And when I say wine, I want to emphasize on that real quick. I may not in my preaching, but we use the fruit of the vine, and I believe I could back that up scripturally. That's what you should use. And argue with anybody about it, but to make wine you have to add something to it. The Lord didn't want anything added to the bread. I don't believe He wanted anything added to the blood. Say that again. Nothing needs to be added to His body and nothing needs to be added to His blood. It's good enough, sufficient as it was. And so that's why I believe that that's the way we should do it. I want to start reading at verse 23. The Bible reads like this. He said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. And after the same manner also He took the cup which He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come." Now, I believe that'd be all that we read this morning. We may go back and read a few things. And as we've already said, this is the statement. It seems like it keeps staying with me this morning. In the first part, he said, take, eat, this is my body. And in the end part of that verse, it said, this do in remembrance of me. In this service, I seem like no matter where I preach or what I read or what I do, I always say that, this do in remembrance of me. You're going to hear that a lot this morning. And in verse 25, he said the same thing. He said, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. If I had a thought above another day, it'd be, what did he want us to remember? What did he want us to remember? I mean, why are we even having communion this morning? It's not so the deacons can sit at a table in the front of the church. It's not so we could set up something that looks pretty and shiny and pure as a white sheet or silver tables there, if you'd have it, that holds the cups and the bread. But we're here this morning to remember what the Lord did for us. Amen. I begin to think about this and ponder on this thought. This do in remembrance of me. And begin to think where this really started at. It started in the garden over there when he went a little further to pray. And I believe he wants us to remember that they left him by himself. The disciples didn't stay with the Lord. You remember several times he said, could you not watch for an hour while he went to pray? He knew Brother Tony, that he's going to be betrayed. Amen. I want you to remember the Lord let them arrest him. Yes, he did. They didn't take the Lord by surprise. He knew he'd be arrested and he could have stopped them, yet he let them arrest him. Amen. That's something we need to remember this morning, that our Lord was arrested. You know what bothers a lot of people when they find out somebody's been arrested and yet the Lord Jesus Christ let himself be arrested? It'd be good if some of us got apprehended. I don't think some of you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about apprehended of the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit would catch up to us and get a hold of us and keep us in range and keep us where we need to be with the Lord, but yet he is arrested. I remember this part about what led up to this night. That he had a trial where he wasn't treated right, where he was falsely accused. Accusations was made about him. I believe the Lord wanted us to remember how they treated him in his trial. Amen. He went through the trial. I couldn't imagine, first of all, going through a trial, and I certainly couldn't imagine those that had been around me that had seen how good I'd done. I believe all of us in here feel like if we go to church and we're trying our best, and I'll be honest with you, I am trying my best to live right. I ain't perfect. I make mistakes and you make mistakes. But if I was put on trial, I'd want to be made out to be at least a halfway decent fella. Brother Darrell, I wouldn't want people to make accusations about me. We're not good enough as it is, let alone to make us look worse than we really are. Yet the Lord was perfect. The judge said, I find no fault in him. Praise the Lord. But there was false accusations come against him. You remember blasphemy come against him where he made himself equal to God. And I believe he wanted us to remember that he made himself out to be equal with the Father. Yet people made that out lightly. Amen. And accused him of saying that he was God in the flesh. Amen. But he was God in the flesh. And the Bible said, and his own people didn't know him and they rejected him, and there's people still rejecting him today. Amen. They don't know who the Lord is. But I'm going to tell you something. I believe he wanted everyone of us to remember what he went through for us. Think about that. A lot of times when we talk about what he went through for us, we start off with the cross. But he went through a lot more than that. He is arrested for you. He is locked up for you. He is made fun of because of you. He is falsely accused in a trial because of you and me. Y'all with me? Yet he never opened up his mouth and complained. He never opened up his mouth and said a word. And the Bible said he has led like a lamb to a slaughter. Yet he opened not his mouth. He knew what he come for. This was the reason he left glory. And he wanted us to remember the amen. Why do something so important if it's going to be forgotten? You ever thought about that? It's amazing how every time somebody builds a church or constitutes a church, they want to put a plaque up there that's got their name on it. They want people to remember who the pastor was and who the deacons was and who was on the board. And brother, they want the charter members so everybody remember who the first members was. And Jesus wanted us to remember Calvary, man. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, you might say, well, how come we got to be remembered of Calvary? Because I think people's really forgot what the Lord did for us. I don't think we really have comprehended what the Lord went through for us. I really don't. After he had a false trial, if you remember, they went to had to go beat him and try to suffice the crowd like that. Brother Troy, and they beat him beyond recognition. They couldn't even tell it was him. According to scripture, when he come out, you ever seen somebody beat up on television or seen somebody mangled up through a car wreck? Or I've been to the hospital where a buddy of mine, a generator blew up on him. His name hadn't been on the room, it didn't look like him at all. But I knew it was him. And brother, they couldn't even recognize our Lord. Amen. Don't forget that. Don't forget they beat him so bad that you couldn't even tell who he was. You know, he did that for you and me. You know what the Bible said? And he took 39 lashes, save one. 40 lashes, save one, which is 39. And they said if a man was hit with 40 lashes, that it would kill him with a cat of nine tails. That's what they'd call it. Brother Darren, it was a whip on the end of it, had bones and glass. And they'd reach out and they'd whip that thing around. When they'd get a hold of it, it'd dig in. And then they'd yank it. And it'd rip flesh off and tear wounds open. I've heard people say, I don't believe one drop of blood was shed till he got on the cross. Brother, you better believe something. He bled all the way from his whipping. All up Calvary's hill. And brother, they wasn't much left when he got there, amen. His beat beyond recognition. And his body was tore up for you and me. That's part of why his bread's going to be broken. Because his body was broken for you. And say his bones. Praise the Lord. That was a prophecy that was made. It wasn't going to happen. The Lord said his bones would not be broken. They come to him, they seen he was already dead. One of the men said, well, there ain't no need breaking his bones. Ain't you glad God knows what's going to happen more happens? Praise the Lord. Oh, goodness. They whipped him. They brought him out. They thought that would suffice the people. They still wanted him done away with. The man said, I find no fault in this man. He said, I wash my hands clean of him. He said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. There's a custom among the people. And surely, Brother Mallory, he thought that he'd give them a choice between this Jew that had healed the blind and raised the dead, made the lame to walk. Amen. People that couldn't talk could talk. Leprosy was cleaned up. And they give them the choice between him and Barabbas, a known thief among the people. And yet they still give us Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. Do away with this man. I'm going to tell you something I believe he wants us to remember. He wants us to remember it. Nobody in the crowd stood up for him.
And I hope this don't offend you, but if you had been in the crowd, you'd have kept your mouth shut too. I've heard people say, oh, I would have stood up for him. I'd done this, I'd done that. Then do it today. Amen. If you're just going to do it, then do it today. We need some people to stand up for the Lord and do something today. Let's do it now. Amen. Remember, in remembrance of me, I'm going to tell you something. The me ain't me. And it ain't you. It ain't who built this church. But it's Jesus Christ. That's who we're here to remember. Oh, I tell you, people, it offends them today when we say Jesus is the only way. But I'm going to tell you something. I ain't here to remember Muhammad or Mabuddha or anybody else. Amen. Or Allah or anybody else. And I don't care how many of them comes in on a ship from other countries. The Lord Jesus Christ is still going to be the Savior of the world, not of the United States. He's the Savior of the world. It'll never change. And God's a God and sitting on a throne in heaven. And besides Him, there's none other. Amen. Praise the Lord. So why are we here to remember? What are we here to remember? Tell you something that you don't need to forget. He was in such bad shape going up the hill, he couldn't even carry his own cross. Don't forget that. He had to look out in the crowd as he drug that cross. It's not usually particularly too good in place because we'll... A lot of places I've been, I've seen them show the Lord carry his cross all the way up to the stage. That's not scripture. He didn't go all the way to Calvary with his cross. And I'm going to tell you why I believe that happened. You can believe this or not. You know, the Bible said, he said, we need to bear one another burdens. He said, take up your cross and follow me. Do you understand what the cross represents, really? The cross is a representation of the person that's toting its sin. Amen. Now, even though Jesus came to tote the cross for us, he didn't have any sin. It wasn't his place to tote a cross. Amen. He took our place. Don't you forget that. He toted the cross because of our sins. Amen. Mine and yours and everybody else's. We don't need to forget that. They got him up the top of the hill. Laid him down on the cross. The Bible said they didn't take his life, but he freely gave it. I believe he laid down on the cross, laid his hands down, opened them up. I don't believe he was balled them. I don't believe he had to pry his hands open, Brother Blake. I believe he laid them out there. And this might bother you a little bit, but I sort of believe Isaac was a picture of Christ. I believe when daddy laid him down on the, as a sacrifice, I believe he just laid on down there. He had all his trust and faith in his daddy. Amen. Daddy knew what was going on. Amen. I believe Jesus knew that his father had everything in control. Amen. Praise the Lord. This do in remembrance of me. And as they went to take the nails and place them on his hand, you can believe either way you want to. I'm not going to argue with you. I studied it out both ways. I know the Bible said that his nails was drove in his hands and in his feet. Ain't that what the scripture says? And then when you study out, you'll find that a hand breadth was from the elbow down to the finger. A lot of people believe, and because of history, most people was crucified with the nail being drove through their wrist where it would hold their weight of their body. But you've got to remember a couple things. Most people that was hung on the cross, they didn't have the little pedestal on the bottom. They wanted the Lord to be able to push up a little longer and suffer more than anybody else. You got to remember that. It's one thing. Amen. A lot of people said, yeah, but it would have ripped it. It would have ripped and done this and that. I don't believe they was really too worried about the Lord, Brother Troy, and how much pain he went through. I don't know if they didn't intentionally put them in his hands. But either way, bro, I'm going to tell you something. I don't care if it was his hands or his wrist. He took the nails in his hands and feet for you and me. Amen. We need to remember that. I had a pair of boots on the other week. They was in pretty good shape, Brother Brandon. Till we went up there and worked on this job site, and they had this wire mesh out there we'd been walking on that started tearing all my little tassels that was holding the rubber on the bottom of my boot that holds the bottom together. And one day it got so dark, it was about 6 o'clock in the morning. I was trying to get a start early, Brother Tony. And I went to go step inside this room. And a lot of you may not know what I'm talking about, but before they pour the concrete slab, I know Brother Tony know what I'm talking about. They'll put these studs in there, and then they'll pour the concrete up, and the studs are sticking up out of the floor. I went to go step my foot over in that room, and just as soon as I did, I felt something big as my thumb just about come shooting up through my boot. Went up right beside my foot, rubbed up beside my foot, and I picked it up, and I just started saying, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." It was so big, it broke my whole sole of my boot in half. On the bottom. Amen. But it just grazed. It went to the side of my foot. Friend, let me just say this. The Lord wasn't just grazed. It didn't skim just the side. It went right through where it was intended. And he suffered in pain and agony for you and me. Amen. We need to remember that. Everything he went through, he did it because he loved us. That's what that song was saying this morning. He loves me. He loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. That's why that little song the kids sing ought to touch your heart so much. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. Listen to this. Let's sing that first verse. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. Can you feel that? That ought to be all over you right now. He loves you. That's what he wants us to remember. That's what he wants the kids to remember. That's what he wants us. That's what he wants preachers and deacons to remember. That's the reason we're doing this service today. When he left it for his 12 disciples, he wanted them to remember how much he loved them. Amen. You know what he said? He said, "I'm ready to be offered up. I'm ready to be that sacrifice." You know what they said? "Not so, Lord. Not why I'm here." They had to tell Peter, put his sword away. He wanted us to remember that. Don't forget that. The Lord, Peter would have fought for the Lord. Don't forget that, but the Lord didn't want no fighting. That ain't why he come. He didn't come to fight. He come to bring peace. Whew. Don't forget that. Next time we pop off at somebody, next time we get a little ill, next time we want to slam the door, don't forget the Lord didn't come to make us like that. Just remember how he come. He could have said anything he wanted, yet he kept his mouth shut. Was led like a lamb to a slaughter. They placed a crown of thorns on his head. I'm fixing to finish. He wants us to remember that. Why was that so significant? I've thought about it this way a couple times. When they crowned him with a thorn, Brother Darrell's, they might as well have just said, "King of sin." Do you know that's why thorns even come? When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, Brother Troy in the Bible said, and God said he was going to make thistles come up out of the ground. And made them deal with that. It was because of sin. And yet they took that and they placed that on his head. They mocked him with a sign and said, "King of the Jews," on the cross. Yet they crowned him with a thorn of sin. Think about it. And I'm going to tell you something else. It wasn't, you ever seen a little bit of briar bush I was talking about the other night where the pricklings are so small you just about can't see them? I can feel them, but you can't hardly see them. Some of them look like hairs. They get all in your hand. You don't even know where to pull them out. I have to rub it back and forth, Brother Brown, where I can feel the pain so I can try to start brushing it the way that it came in, trying to brush it out because you can't see it. It's so small. They said that ain't the kind of thorns these was. I seen a picture one time of a crown of thorns that somebody had made of the thorns that was supposed to be from Jerusalem that they placed on his head. I just want you to know real quick, it was about as long as your fingers. They looked like it. Looked like spikes. And they said when if you'd have pushed it down on a human being's brow, it would have probably went in about an inch or two. And we're not talking about just barely pressing something. We're talking about somebody shoving it down on somebody's head and making sure it stayed on. It drove down in there. Think about the deepest splinter you've ever had and put about 20 or 30 or 40 of them in your head. And now it might help you remember a little bit this morning about what the Lord went through for us. You know he could have stopped that? I'm glad. I don't want a bunch of hollering amen. We don't need that to remember him, do we? I'm glad it's quiet in here. I want you to know he was in a lot of pain. And in the midst of all that pain, Brother Maller, he looked over the thief and he forgave him of his sins. With all this planted in his head, and after he had been beaten beyond recognition and blood flowing down his back and his face, he still forgave somebody of their sins. How could he do that? Because that's what he come for. What did he say? To seek and to save that which was lost. He wants us to remember that even down to his dying death, he was doing his job. Fixing to encourage some of you. I don't want to hear nobody else here in this church that's 50, 60, and 70, and 80, and 86. Well, there just ain't nothing else I can do for the Lord. Yes, there is. If there wasn't, you'd be gone. Do it till you leave here just like our Lord did. What am I supposed to do? Just love him. Tell people how good the Lord is to you. That's good enough. I tell you, if I could get 40 people to go out of this building today and every day start talking about how good Jesus is, we'd fill this building up just on that. You know why? Because people want what we got. I'm going to tell you, the Lord, he wants us to remember these things. I'm about done. I didn't know I was going to have this much. There's a lot to be remembered, ain't there? That's what was on my heart. In remembrance of me. I don't want you to forget. Even after he'd been beaten, after everything else had taken place, the soldier come along with his sword. And the Lord was hanging up there. And he took his sword and he jabbed it up through the Lord. And the Bible said, forthwith came blood and water. He shed that for you and me. Blood began to run from his side. After that, a few things took place. And then the Bible said he yielded up the ghost. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit unto you. And he gave, he's still giving. You ready? Listen, he gave up the ghost. He gave up the ghost. He want, no matter what he was doing, he wanted us to know he was always giving. He was giving of himself right to his last breath. Don't forget that. That ain't the end. That's what this part's wanting us to remember, that his body was broken, that he shed his blood. 3 days later, friend, he got back up out of the grave. We just got past Easter. Ain't you glad he's alive this morning? And even though he's alive, he didn't want us to forget his death or his burial or the resurrection. There's the gospel, the death, burial, and the resurrection. One last thing I want to get to, and then I'll be done. It's not mentioned a lot. When they got ready to bury the Lord, you remember he left the splendor of heaven. He had it all. He left the place where the streets made of gold. Walls of jasper, gates of pearl, angels at his very beckon. All he got to do is speak a word, and legions upon legions of angels would move. And yet when he got ready to be buried, he didn't even have a grave. It's a good thought to have a burial plot ahead of time. I still don't have one yet. My wife don't have one. We'll deal with that when the time comes or whenever the Lord lets us. But he didn't have one neither, Brother Troy. There's been a lot of people that's died that didn't have one. But I'm going to tell you something I want you to remember. They didn't go buy him one. Because he wasn't going to need one permanently. I could almost, one night after he got done talking to Nicodemus, I believe Nicodemus got saved. He is one of the ones who went and got the Lord's body later. I believe after Nicodemus got saved, one night him and the Lord was around talking, and he said, you know, when they buried me, I ain't even got a grave. Maybe old Joseph Arimathea said, well, you can use mine, Lord, when the time comes. And this ain't scripture. You just let me believe this if I want to. You ain't got nothing against it. Maybe the Lord looked over and said, I might just do that, Joseph, but I ain't going to need it but 3 days, buddy, but I appreciate it. You can still use it. Praise the Lord. He wasn't going to need it forever. We need to remember our Lord is alive this morning. How do you know he's alive? I feel him in my heart. I feel him in my heart. And I can sense, I hope, almost everybody, it looks like I can tell on your faces now, that we're getting a little glimpse of remembering what the Lord done for us. And I hope this morning when you take this little piece of bread, this is just it's hard to fathom. This is not him. I've had people argue with me and said, well, the Bible said this bread is my body. And I won't get so little say is my body and try to take it literally, Brother Tony. But I said, no, this is in remembrance. Remember that. So when you take this bread, I want you to try to remember everything I said, maybe some things I didn't say the Lord has showed you in the past that his body went through so that you could be sitting here this morning. You ready? Saved and on your way to heaven. That's something that you need to remember. If it was not for what we're doing here, what he did at Calvary, you'd be well on your way to a devil's hell right now. Everybody in here. And I'm going to tell you something, that blood we take of that wine, that fruit of the vine. The blood of bulls and goats wouldn't get it done. But the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, I'm going to enter into the veil. Once. And it was good enough. I like that song. I like this song. I'll be done. Said, once was enough to see how much he loved me. One lonely trip was all it took up Calvary's hill. He said, when Jesus said it was finished, he meant for all eternity. He said he won't never have to live that way again because once was enough for me. Boy, I love that song. It's got a good message. Should I want our deacons, if they will, to go ahead and get the bread ready? Looks like most of it's broke. I want them to get ready to break the rest of the bread.